It's good to see you this morning. Acts chapter 1 is where we start. You've got a new booklet that Andy's talked about. We've got a new banner as well. Acts 1 verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be filled. You'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. What a powerful thing. We're going to receive power, a promise from the Lord Jesus for us. And this is where we're going to start, and we're going to kind of pick up this theme of this verse continually as we make our way through this this book of Acts. Now, we come to this having just come through the Christmas season. But Acts starts with the ascension. Okay, the ascension is when we read and think about Jesus going back to heaven after the resurrection. And so in one sense, we're going to start our new series just after Easter, even though for us it's just after Christmas. But I think that this is really timely for us as a church, okay? Acts is written by Luke, writer of the Gospel of Luke. He was a doctor. He was an historian. And so we can be sure that because of both of those things about him, that he writes with care and he writes with accuracy. So there's historical events that are recorded here, and we can be certain that they've been recorded properly and truthfully, because that's who he was. And he starts in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, with this wonderful phrase. He says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach." I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. The gospel account of what Jesus had done was what he had began to do, not the total of it. It was not, "I have written about all that Jesus did." No, I have written about what Jesus began to do. And so that tells us from the get-go here that it was important for then and is important for now that the work of Jesus is to continue and is continuing. And given he's not yet returned, it's still carrying on. When Christ returns, his work will be finished. But he's not yet come back for us, so God hasn't finished. He hasn't finished with you. He hasn't finished with this world. Luke then tells us that Jesus appeared to them many, many times over a period of 40 days. So Jesus, remember, after this comes after Easter. So Jesus died on a cross, rose again. Oh, then over a period of 40 days, he appeared to the disciples many times. And each time he brought something for them, not a physical thing, but he brought them encouragement or a reminder of something, or he instructed them. And now he comes and he gives them a promise that the Spirit is coming. The Spirit is coming as a gift for them, coming to give them power, power to be a witness, to be a witness over all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They are to be witnesses, to witness everywhere, and to do that all over the world, and for which they're going to be given great power. And so this is our verse for this series, if not our verse for the year and for always. Acts 1 verse 8. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We could read there, "You'll be my witnesses in Withall and Hollywood and Bromsgrove and Solihull or wherever, Redditch, and to the ends of the earth." This verse is kind of, it's box office, isn't it? It's celebratory, it's powerful, it's encouraging, it's kind of magnificent. It has so much here for us. There's a ton of kind of powerful, encouraging application we can get from this verse. And that's where we're going to spend most of our time this morning. But we've got to cover here some kind of baseline things to kind of get our kind of theological understanding right as to what does this mean and what doesn't it mean before we can then see how it applies to our lives. Okay. First thing we've got to see is that the disciples' experience here is, if you like, it's unique. Because they had been followers of Jesus without the Holy Spirit and before the Holy Spirit had come. And so for them, this was definitively a second experience to following Jesus. They'd been following Jesus for about 3 years and then they got the Holy Spirit. They'd been baptized in water by John. And so they were definitely followers of Jesus. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. But they didn't have the Holy Spirit because he hadn't come yet until this point. Our experience is different. For we didn't have those 3 years, as it were, physically walking with Jesus before the Holy Spirit came. We believe without seeing. We've never seen physically Jesus, but yet we believe. And so therefore we are saved by that kind of regenerative power of the Holy Spirit, saved by the work of Christ on the cross, of course. But the Holy Spirit then convicts our heart, shows us our sinfulness, shows us our need to be saved from all that we have done, shows us the provision of Jesus dying on the cross for us, and then we are saved. And so we receive that power of the Holy Spirit at the very moment that we are saved, for we could not be saved without it. It all happens at the same time. And so our experience is not the same as that of the disciples, and it couldn't ever have been. They followed Jesus, then received the Holy Spirit. It happens for us all at the same time. There's some other verses that kind of back that point up, even if it's not particularly obvious. Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent, be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It happens all together. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 13. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, for all its many parts form one body, and so it is with Christ. For you are all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. We receive the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation. It's a promise not from me, but from God. And it's for everyone, Jew or Gentile, slave or free. If you like, perhaps in our culture, white or black, Asian, rich or poor, any and all, receive the Holy Spirit. So the power that was promised to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, has already arrived. We get it automatically at the point of salvation. It was given to the disciples differently and uniquely, but it is here for all of us now. We were not saved and then kept waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing to suggest that anywhere in the Bible, nothing at all. But there is plenty that points us to needing an ongoing filling of the Spirit, okay? So we receive the Holy Spirit of salvation, but then there's plenty that suggests that we need to keep being refilled with that same power, okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 20. Be very careful then how you live. So this is being written to Christians, okay? Being written to believers. And he's saying, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Spirit. Again, remember, this was written to Christians. It's an encouragement and it's an instruction. Be filled. Be filled. It's an ongoing thing. We have it at point of salvation, but then it continues forever and a day. We are to be filled all of the time. We never completely run out, but we do progressively empty. And so therefore we need to be progressively filled, okay? I'm going to try and explain this kind of pictorially. Imagine I had a colander and a bucket of water, okay? And I haven't done it in the school because they'd get upset. But imagine if I had a colander and I tipped in a bucket of water. What do you think would happen? It would all pour out. Yeah, would it all pour out straight away? Colin says no. Would it fill up for a bit? It would fill up for a bit, wouldn't it? It would fill up and then it would pour out. Because the rate of which it was poured in would be faster than the rate of which it leaves, okay? And so you'd fill up, but then it would pour out. Would it go dry? Depends on where the holes are. I don't think it would go dry, would it? Water would gather in little droplets between the holes on the colander. Alison's nodding away. She's agreeing. It would gather in bits. It would essentially be empty, but it wouldn't be dry. And then I could go and get another bucket and do it again, and it would fill up, and then it would suddenly pour out. Not go dry, but essentially empty. Be filled with the Spirit. For it's where the power is. Once you are saved, you are never dry, but you're often empty. So we never lose the Spirit in his entirety, but we can feel essentially dry. He's still there, gathered in little bits here and there, but essentially we are empty. Be filled. Once we are saved, we're never dry, but we can often feel empty. And I think we know this already, don't we? If you've been a Christian a long time, you know what this means. You know what it feels like to have times in your life where you feel really close to God and times where you feel a million miles away. Times where you feel full of faith and hope and you're seeing the power and the acts of the Lord Jesus in your life, and times where you just feel like, ugh, and where you doubt and question if any of it's real at all. I think we know what this feels like because we live in feast and famine, don't we? We live in that feast and famine. We live off mountaintop experiences for as long as we can before we need another fix. Ever been on a summer camp? And you come home from camp full of faith, passionate for Jesus, and then it kind of wears off as quickly as the grass stains on your joggers. Been on a church weekend, been to Spring Harvest or a large event, and you come home excited and full of faith, ready to take on the world in the name of Jesus. Firing on all cylinders, and then it fades. It's because we leak. We leak the power of the Holy Spirit, and so we need to be filled. We are filled, and we need to continually be filled, because as quick as it's going in, it's slowly going out. I can say this year now. I'm excited for this year. Gilles is planning to take our young people to an event called New Day in the summer. It's an event with around 9,000 other young people. These are incredible opportunities for our young people. And so I'm excited that they're going to go and get that experience later on this year. Just a real quick aside here. Every so often I get asked about doing another church weekend. We did a few and then we stopped and COVID hit. We did another one and then we haven't for a while. I'd love to do another church weekend. I think they're great for all kinds of reasons. And I think because we live off feast and famine, as we often do, we've got to make time to feast. Yeah? If we live off feast and famine but don't make a commitment to feast, we're inevitably going to struggle. We're really going to struggle. And so my invitation is here. If you want to plan for a big kind of family feast, that sounds great, doesn't it? For children and young people, for all of us, then talk to your friends in the church. And come and tell me that you're up for it. Practically, we have a tipping point, a certain number of people that makes it viable to work. So let's see whether we can get there. But if we know that spiritually we live off feast and famine, but don't make time for feast, then we live in a state of famine. And that's just miserable for everybody, isn't it? So let's be consciously thinking, how can we feast, not just for ourselves, but provide those opportunities for everybody else. Right, back to the passage. We've been given a power. As Christians, we have it. It's not just because I say so, it's because God says so. It's definite. It's 100% promise. But we leak. And we can see that not just in the word, but we know that from our experience. And so we can often feel like we're running on empty. And when we run on empty, the doubts come in, the questions come in, the fear comes in, the anxiety comes in. Does God love me? Is God real at all? I think I'm not going to bother. And it takes over. It takes over the heart and the mind. It's painful. I'm an asthmatic. If I walk, particularly on an incline, it starts to feel hard work after a little while. And I've got to stop and it's in my pocket. Use my inhaler to get me going again. It's not that I can't do it, but walking up a hill with a wheeze in your chest is blooming hard work. So you have to stop and kind of get yourself going again. Let's not live our life with God like we're walking uphill with a wheeze. Let's make sure that we're filling our hearts and our souls and our lives with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's make sure that we are filled and continuously being filled with that life-transforming power. How do we see that then manifest? How does that work out in the life of the church? Well, Ephesians 5 verse 19, we read this already, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, it will change the way that we speak to each other. We will sing truth. Encouragement and lament will be upon our lips. Praise and thanksgiving. We would sing songs in the Spirit. A few years ago now, Jane and I went to go and see Les Mis at the theatre. Anyone seen that? See if you have. And so musicals are not, were not really my thing. I'd never been to see one. And so I thought I'd better watch the film to give myself a chance of being able to follow the story, okay? So I watched the film and then I was asked, what did you make of the film? And I replied, great film, but shame about all the singing. Because it's just odd, isn't it, to walk around suddenly bursting into song. It's just not normal. No one does that. It's like, you do, do you? Okay. Weirdo. No, it's just odd. No one does that. And so equally, we're not meant to be people who only walk around communicating by singing songs to each other or by only singing it by quoting the word of God to one another. But our speech should be seasoned with the word of God, shouldn't it? It should be rich in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Our words should be loving and uplifting, truthful, full of peace and grace. We should be able to rejoice with those who rejoice. We should be able to weep with those who weep. We should speak as one who has spent time with the Lord and who is the embodiment of all of those things. For Jesus, he is full of truth and grace and love and hope and mercy and encouragement and kindness. And our lives, if we spend time with Jesus, we will naturally copy and replicate that in our own lives. My granddad passed away a few years ago now, but it would normally take me less than 2 minutes with him before I slipped back into my childhood Manchester accent. A few of you nodding, you know what that feels like, how quickly we mimic those accents of people. So how much more then, if we spend time with the Lord and the Holy Spirit, will we allow him to change us that we become like him? They become like him. Our new banner is up, and so we've got one now at the back. We had to make room for it, and it was kind of looked at me thinking, which one should I move? And I thought, I don't want to move that one. But it was the Galatians one that struck my attention this morning. It was a few years ago now. Galatians 5, verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. It's this, isn't it? Let's live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's keep in step with him that our words and our actions and our encouragement and our everything are seasoned with grace and love and hope and truth and power from being in the time, marinating in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Spend time with the Lord. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. The second way that the power of the Spirit manifests itself in us is in Acts 1 verse 8. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. We will speak of Jesus. We're going to do that well or we're going to do that badly, but we are going to speak of Jesus. We will point people to Jesus or we will with regret, point people away from him. I said a few weeks ago that worship leads to witnessing, and that if our worship doesn't lead to witnessing, it isn't likely worship at all. Now, I know that one or two of you are not too sure about that, but in fear that it might mean that some stop worshiping for they know they are not witnessing. I think in a kind of converse way, that kind of proves the point, doesn't it? If we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, we cannot stop worshiping, can we? If we're filled with the power of God in our lives, we're going to worship him. We're going to worship him. We won't be able to stop ourselves. It will just be bursting out of us all of the time. And we will be desperate, absolutely desperate, to be a witness for him, wanting the lives of others to be changed, and that Jesus gets yet more and more and more glory, that his kingdom gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Yet if we are leaky and nearly dry, we're like a colander that's not really holding anything anymore. There's little droplets formed at the bottom, but it's essentially, it's empty. We'll almost certainly not be witnessing. We won't be telling anyone about Jesus. Or it will be stunted and hard work, like climbing a mountain with a wheeze in your chest. I talk a lot about being at church, just simply coming to church. It's the analogy of a piece of coal in the fire. You take a piece of coal out of the fire and it will slowly go cold. Take a Christian out of the church and they will slowly go cold. They'll stop witnessing. They'll stop reading the word. Stop praying. Stop worshipping. And they'll stop coming. What did we read in Ephesians 5, verse 15? Be very careful how you live. The first Sunday of a new year, be very careful how you live. Take care this year, not just on the slippy, icy paths, but take care over where you spend your time, where you find yourself, what you watch on TV, what books you read, who you spend the majority of your time with. Be careful. Be careful. Make sure you are taking steps so as to be filled and refilled often. I know I'm rapidly running out of time, but I want to underline something here and I want to offer something here. To underline something, this is what Acts is all about, okay? There's a lot of incredible things we're going to see as we kind of go through this book together, but this is essentially what it's all about. It's about ordinary people just like me and you living in the power of the Holy Spirit and seeing incredible things happen for the glory of God. That sounds great, doesn't it? We'd like that for ourselves, wouldn't we? Yeah, we would. You're a bit shy, I know. We have the power from God in the person of the Holy Spirit. You do, and I do. The power is given to us so as we might build one another up, and that we might be built up so as to be witnesses together, that we might be witnesses in our local area and all over the world. Why are we sending £1,200 to Zimbabwe? So that Tapiwa can be a witness to the Lord Jesus thousands of miles away, all over the world. And so we have this incredible power. We have it. You have it. You might not feel it, but you have it. And you might not feel it because we leak. We leak. We slowly but gradually empty. And so we need to underline that. We need to know that we have it. We might not feel it because we leak. So this is the offer. The book of Acts, as we shall see loads of times as we make our way through it over this kind of first 6 months of the year, the disciples laid hands on people and they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now, important to note, this is narrative, it's not instruction. It's what happened. Luke, who is an historian and a doctor, tells us what happened. So therefore, we can be sure that it did. We don't find in Scripture an instruction, okay? We don't find it anywhere. So as people can be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to lay hands on them that they may be filled with it. But that doesn't mean that that's not what happened, because it was, okay? And so as much as I can't find an instruction that as a pastor I must do it, I can read that that's what they did over and over again, and I can see that the Lord's people were continually filled with the power of the Holy Spirit through others laying hands on them. So I can't see an instruction to do it, but neither can I see a reason why we shouldn't do it, and it's clearly what they did. So how does this work? Well, I believe there is something about the humility and the vulnerability of asking someone to pray for you, of approaching another Christian and going, I feel like dry, I feel empty. will you pray for me that I may be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? Because I want to be a blessing and an encouragement and to sing songs in the Spirit and be helpful and, I want to have that power to be a witness to my family and my friends and the people that I work with. So will you pray for me? Now, that requires a lot in our kind of modern progressive culture, because we're not so good at telling people what we haven't got. We want to blow our own trumpet and tell them what we have got. And so maybe we need to have that vulnerability and that humility before one another, and essentially, truthfully, mostly before God, we say, I haven't got this. Can I have it, please? Can you pray for me that I would have this? So I believe there's something about the humility and the vulnerability of asking someone to pray for you. 1 Corinthians 14 talks about that we would eagerly desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit, okay? And so we are given an invitation, an encouragement, and an instruction to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I think if we're going to eagerly desire something, that might mean that we're prepared to do almost anything in order to do that. Even if that means walking up to another and going, I'm desiring these greater gifts. I'm desiring what I believe the Lord has promised for me. Will you pray for me that I may have them? Will you pray for me that I may be filled with this power that I read of? Will you pray for me that I may know this filling and this power, that I may be peaceful and gracious and kind and an encouragement and a blessing and have power when I witness? I don't believe that God dangles something in front of us that is unattainable. I'm about 5'7". I'm not very tall. And so things that are a bit high, I have to say now, Josh, can you come and reach this? A bit embarrassing, really, but hey-ho. I don't believe that God has put things that are out of reach. I don't believe he'd do that. I believe that if God has offered us something, there's a means for us to have it. And if what he's offered us is to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe that is in reach for all of us, that we do not need to live on near empty. We just don't need to. But I believe many of us are content to live on near empty, because we would rather do that than be vulnerable before somebody and going, can you pray for me? Because I feel just empty. It's daft, isn't it? It's absolutely crackers. I believe that God honors the humility. I believe that he honors that earnest seeking of what we do not have. And so my invitation to you is to come and let me lay hands on you and pray for you. Not that me or my hands are particularly special. But it's not me that is going to do that for you. I believe that it's your vulnerability and your humility and your eager desiring that God is going to honor that, and that God gives you, God fills you, God gifts you, God empowers you. It's not me. Perhaps I'm just here to go, well, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you that God would answer the desire of your heart and that you would know what it feels like to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, to have gifts that come from God, that you may be a blessing and you may be a witness in your world and in your life. God meets us in our humility. God meets us in our earnest desire and gives that filling and the power of the gifts, such as he has promised, according to his grace. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to, but he's gracious. He's gracious. And so blesses according to his grace, which is infinite. Infinite. And so we're going to see this theme again and again and again as we kind of unwrap this wonderful book of Acts together. But maybe let's from the get-go kind of go, Lord, if you're telling me that I'm going to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, man, on whatever it is, the 5th of January, I don't feel particularly filled right now. Lord, will you fill me? Will you fill me? The power of your Holy Spirit. I believe God meets us in that vulnerability and in that honesty, that humility, in that brokenness. Before one another, and ultimately in front of him, and he gives out of his grace. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to do a few things in this next little while, okay? So we're going to We're going to make it a little bit easier, okay? And so we're going to leave communion here, and to come and get this. If you know that there's somebody in the room who's going to struggle to do that, then maybe you want to go and take it off them. That's fine. We're going to leave communion here because that gets everybody up and moving. And it also means that it gives you the time to reflect upon this. And so why do we take communion? Well, one, because the Lord asked us to, and so that's enough. That's enough. But one of the important things about communion is it is communion, it is communal, it is together, that we are all in this together. And maybe today you feel filled. Praise the Lord. What a grace. But you also know what it likes to be running on empty. And so perhaps the person next to you might be running on empty. And so it's communal. But the Lord Jesus came to save us and unite us together as a family, and that we support and bless one another. And so we do this together, and we pray for each other, and we encourage each other, and we support one another, and we bless and encourage and help one another. And so we're gonna have this and come out and take communion when you're ready to do that. When you're not actually yet, I'm right with the Lord. I've got no sins in my heart that I've not repented of. I'm right with the Lord. I'm going to come and take and feast on him and remember him and give thanks for him and for all that he's done for me and all that he is and all that he's given to me. And maybe then you want to, I'll be kind of standing around down here. Maybe you want to come and say, Steve, will you just pray for me? And I'd love to pray for you that you would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with him. And that he would season your steps and your words and your actions and everything, not just today, but all of this year. So let me pray. And we're going to worship as well as we do that. And there'll be time to kind of respond in that. And so let's just give this time to the Lord to work in our lives, individually and collectively as a local church this morning. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for him, because without him, all of this would be futile. Thank you that he came and died for us. Died taking the punishment for our sin on the cross. Died taking the blame, the responsibility. Dying the death that we deserve. I thank you for that he rose again and the power of the resurrection. That he set us free once and for always. I thank you that he looked at the disciples and knew of us to come all these years later, and so sent the helper, sent the power in the person of the Holy Spirit. And that they received him at Pentecost, and that all these years later we receive him at our salvation. We are filled with your power. But Lord, we know that we leak and we sin and we're frail and we're fragile and we stumble and we fall, and so we leak. And so, Lord, again, I pray today that we would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we would live less in feast and famine, but live like those who daily seek you and open our hearts and our lives to you, that we are filled and being filled and being filled and being filled with your great power. So that our words would be full of witness and encouragement and blessing and grace and peace to one another. That we would live as a witness to the lost world around us, full of grace, truth, speaking well of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would help us this morning to be humble and honest and vulnerable, and that we would ask for what we do not have. That we would ask for what you have promised us. Maybe ask for something that maybe once in our lives we knew that we had, but we haven't felt that way for a while. That we would ask and be filled with your power and your grace again this morning, we pray. Amen.